ministered to our hearts, and he stood up here and began to talk about how to come clean and open your minds to God, and he walked us through a prayer, and I was standing over here, and I walked up. He said, if anyone needs anything, whether it be a healing or a spiritual breakthrough, and spiritual battles you've been facing, or you need salvation, being filled with the Holy Ghost, come up front. And I made my way up front, and let me tell you something about Shane Thompson, and I am being transparent. Sometimes I can have a little pride in my life. I know I'm the only one. It just happens. Me being considered a minister, a young minister in this church, the thought coming to my mind, don't do it. Nope, don't walk up there, because here's what's going to happen. You're going to walk up there, you're going to lift your hands, and then you're going to be like, uh-oh, who's looking? That's just how the devil begins to speak to your mind. He wants to distract you. But it was at that point that God began to encourage me. God began to speak to my life. God began to lift me up out of the funk that I was in, out of the mud that the devil began trying to put my life in. It was at that point I stood up within myself and I said, it is written. Amen. It is written. We can be in the perfect will of God and still be relentlessly attacked by the devil. John 16:33, it says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, though therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This is telling us that times are going to come in our lives that we're going to receive hardness. We're going to face temptations. We're going to face trials, Brother Pugh. But be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Amen. Be a good soldier. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, the gold perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What does that tell you? That tells you that the trials that you're going through, I'm telling you right now, I'm speaking to someone today, the trials that you're going through, the temptations that you're going through, they're more precious than the dollar bill you have in your hand. They're more precious than the bitcoins you're buying online. They're more precious than any amount of money you have in the bank, because they're more precious to God. Amen. You can't buy a closer walk with God. It comes through trials. You can't buy a closer relationship with God. It comes through prayer. It comes through fasting. It comes through reading of the Word of God. And it comes through trials. It is what it is. You can ask my wife. That's one of my sayings. When things come against us and we're dealing with problems, I got to where I just look at her and say, it is what it is. We're going to move on through. The other morning, my son called me. 5:30 in the morning. I wasn't going to work that day. It was 15 degrees. I done called in and said, not happening. I'm going to do work from home. He calls me, Dad, truck broke down on the side of the road. I look over. All right, get up. I go help him. We pull the truck all over, off on the side. We begin to look at it. There's some problems wrong with it. No big deal. We'll take care of it. It is what it is. I get home. We let the dog out the back. I look around. Backyard is, y'all saw it on Facebook. You ain't got to act like you don't know. I put it out there. Backyard completely flooded. Pipes busted. Water. It's freezing outside. The water's done iced over. That's how cold it is. It don't get that cold here in Louisiana. It reminded me of when I was in Indiana and I drug up and come back home. Anyway, it was cold. I looked at it. I found out where it was at. I went outside, said, oh, my Lord. Cut that water off, and I said, you know what, God, thank you that it didn't come in my house again. Thank Lord, I might have to fix that. The truck might be broke down. My yard is flooded, but thank you. It is what it is, and I'm just going to move on. That's not because I'm some spiritual person. That's because I got tired of letting the devil get me down through temptations and trials, and I said, you know what? It is what it is. God, let's move forward. Amen. But With this reality and in mind, it is important to emphasize this truth. Our response to temptations and trials determines the result of the temptation. Let me say this again. Our response to the temptation determines the result of the temptations. How are you responding? How are you responding to what the devil is trying to bring against you? How are you responding? The question is asked, why does this happen? And it still remains today. Why are we facing these temptations? Why are we facing these trials? It's simple. The devil understands. Are you ready for this? And this is some big theological thing that I just hit. The devil understands who you are. No, that wasn't a big theological something I come up with. It's just a simple fact. The devil understands who you are. He understands that when you make it through you have a spiritual high or a spiritual breakthrough, that's when he begins to worry about your future. He don't know what your future holds. God does. But he does understand this. Uh-oh, that person's praying like they've never prayed. Uh-oh, that person's fasting like they've never fasted. That person's reading the word like never before. Uh-oh, that person's got a spiritual breakthrough like I haven't seen. It's time for me to worry. That's why the temptations and the trials and the thorns come in your life. But as long as you stay a spectator, as long as you stay on the sidelines, Brother Pugh, Brother Ryan, as long as you sit there and you say, I don't want to get involved. I'm not dealing with this. I'm just going to sit back and come to church and be me. As long as you sit on the side and you're a spectator, then the devil don't care. He don't worry about you. When all you're doing is spectating, he don't worry about it. He's not worrying about who you're going to become as long as you're sitting on the sidelines of being a spectator. But you see, Jesus knows who you are. He knows how powerful you are. He knows how strong you can become. You see, he knows how you can come and stand against the enemy through the word. The devil gets afraid when you become spiritually blessed. He gets afraid when you begin reading the word and you become stronger in the word. Amen. But once again, without emotional distress through temptations and trials, we would never experience true peace. Without the emotional distress through temptations and our trials, we would never experience true peace. Amen. Tidbit prelude to Wednesday night. I don't know if I should advertise this. I'll be speaking again Wednesday night. People might say, well, I just won't come. Show up. I'm joking. Wednesday night, I'll be speaking on fear. Something I'm just going to drop a little nugget from Wednesday night. If there was no cancer, there would be no prayer against cancer. Think about it. If there was no financial distress, there would be no praying over financial distress. Without emotional distress through temptations and trials, we would never experience true peace. But we have the ability to overcome. Our ability to overcome temptation is strongly correlated with our ability to recognize the goals of Satan's temptations. What does that mean? Goals of his temptations. The devil don't want your home. He don't just want your children. He wants your whole region. He wants everything about you. He's not just worried about you. He's not just worried about you, Brother Ryan. He wants everything that you've got. That's his goal. So when he starts coming against you and he starts tempting you and he sees you falling, he knows that that's when he starts reaching your other generation, your children, your grandchildren, and everything around you, your co-workers at work. So he's not just concerned about you. He wants everything about you, everything in your stadium, everything in your region. That's what his ultimate goal is. Hallelujah. But that's when we need to stand up and understand that we've got the word within us. We've got Jesus Christ himself in us. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost, like Brother Brian was saying earlier, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. All you've got to do is do what Jesus did. It is written. It is written, amen. Satan tries to lure us into satisfying a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. What do you mean? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 4. We'll look at verses 3 and 4. Matthew 4 and 3 says, "And when the tempter came unto him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Think about that for a second. Why was he asking Jesus to turn these stones into bread? Where did he just come from? Verse 4 says, "And he," speaking of Jesus, "answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Satan tried to tempt Jesus with a legitimate offer of food, knowing that Jesus had been fasting and was hungry. And I'm sure he was tired. 40 days of fasting and 40 days of praying with nothing to eat would make anyone hungry and tired. He was yet still just flesh and bone. And so he came against him, but Jesus still stood strong. And he said, "It is written. It is written, it is written, man will not live by bread alone. It is written, it is written." He tried to lure Jesus with something of need and of craving in an illegitimate way. When the enemy comes against us, we must remember that it is written, because we have been empowered to overcome. And the only way you're going to overcome is by the word. The only way we're going to ever overcome is by the word. It is written. It is written. It is written. Brother Pugh, Jesus said, "It is written." We cannot stand and fight the enemy on our own. We cannot stand in the ring and come blow to blow with the devil. We can't come against him with our own flesh and blood, but we can come against him with the word of God. It is written. It is written. "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." It is written. It is written. You must arm yourself with the word of God. Amen. Ephesians 6 and 19 says, "And take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Amen. If you want to overcome temptation, you must use the word of God and the sword of the Spirit. It is written. It is written. I'm telling you right now that someone needs to hear this. The devil has been tormenting you. He has been tempting you for too long. It's time to stand up and tell the devil, "It is written. It is written. And is now no weapon formed against me." As they said this morning, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." It is written. It is written. It is written. Jude 1 and 9 says, "Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not, bringing against him railing accusations." In other words, he didn't come to him with his own words and trying to fight him on his own, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." He didn't do it on his own. We know who Michael the archangel is. He is the head of God's army of angels. He is the angel that in Revelation leads the army of God's angels to defeat Satan. But even he, in the time of carrying away of Moses, he didn't stand on his own and come to blows with the enemy. He stood and said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Even if he does it, how much more can and should we do it? Being filled with the Holy Ghost, "I rebuke you, devil. Get behind me. It is written. It is written. I've got the power within me. It is written." It is written. So we must understand that when the enemy comes at us with his temptations and accusations, we have to understand the word of God. But we must do it with patience. It takes patience to overcome the enemy and his temptations. It takes patience to be an overcomer. Hebrews 12 and 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Let us run with patience. Luke 21 and 19 says, "In your patience possesses ye your soul." Sister Creel, I dare not say that you have not been living for God but 1 or 2 weeks, 1 or 2 years, 1 or 2 months. It's taken patience, hasn't it? It's taken patience to overcome the enemy at times, hasn't it? There hasn't been a time, I dare say once, that when the enemy comes against you, you get on your knees and you say, "Lord, take this from me right now in Jesus' name," and it's gone. It takes patience. We've got to understand that coming against the enemy takes having faith in God, faith in his word, and patience. The word wouldn't say it if it didn't take it. You can't fight the devil in haste. We must understand this is not a marathon. I mean, this is a marathon and not a sprint. Too many times we get hit with something, we automatically want to take care of it fast and pray, and "God, take it right now. I rebuke it," and then we wonder why it isn't gone. You cannot take shortcuts in doing battle with the enemy. The Bible says, "Fight the good fight." 2 Timothy 4 and 7 says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." You have to have patience, and it comes with faith. Faith gives you patience. Patience builds faith. You've got to fight the good fight. Fighting the good fight, keeping the faith, means keep on keeping on. I guarantee you there's a few of us that have said that in ourselves. We've got to keep on keeping on. In the darkest times of our lives, in the death of our loved ones, we've got to keep on keeping on. When trials come against us like we've never seen before, we've got to keep on keeping on and keep the faith and fight the good fight. Satan's goal is to rob us of the potential of our future. He does not know, as I said before, what our future holds, but he knows who holds our future. Satan knows that if we keep faith and we fight the good fight and remember to fight him with God's word, it is written, and with patience, he has no chance to overcome us and to have victory over us with his temptations. There's a book written called The Three Edwards. It's written by Thomas Costains. This book tells us of a 14th century duke by the name of Reynold III of what is known now as Belgium. He was the duke of that region. And as a result of a violent quarrel with Reynold's younger brother, Edward successfully revolted against him, Reynold. When Edwards captured Reynold, he had a cell built around Reynold. However, doors and windows were never put in this cell. It was always left open. The problem with this arrangement was that Reynold was grossly overweight and couldn't fit through the openings. Reynold needed to lose weight to fit through the openings or to leave the room. Edwards knew that his older brother could not control his appetite and sent him delicious foods every day. And as you may imagine, Reynold grew larger day by day during this time of incarceration. Anytime anyone accused Duke Edwards of treating Reynold, his brother, cruelly, he simply said this: "My brother is not a prisoner. He may leave when he so wills. When he so wills, he may leave at any time. Reynolds stayed in that room for 10 plus years and was not released until after Edward died in battle. By then, his health was so bad that within a year, he died. He was a prisoner of his own appetite. As children of God, we must never become slaves of our own carnal appetite. The Holy Ghost will empower us to resist the enemy. The Word of God will give us knowledge to resist the enemy. God will tell us how to do it through His Word. And through prayer and fasting, we will understand how to overcome the enemy. But we must do it through the Word of God. In Romans 8:5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." In your times of temptation, in your times of trials, we must allow the Holy Ghost to guide us toward "it is written." Amen. As we stand in this place this morning, your future depends on your "it is written." Your future to battle the enemy depends on your desire to be able to come against the enemy with the Word of God. "It is written. It is written. Man will not live by bread alone. It is written. Get thee hence, Satan. It is written. No weapon formed against me. It is written. It is written. It is written." I dare say that I am speaking to those today who have been going through trials in your life, who have been battling things in your life, whether it be depression, whether it be a sickness in your body, or whatever thorns in your side the enemy has brought to you. I just want to encourage you with these three words. All you've got to do is stand against the enemy with encouragement, and in faith say, "Devil, it is written." Amen. Let's all lift our hands right now and begin to pray. God, I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus.